Hi everyone. Just before we get started on today's episode, I wanted to share with you the special discount code I have created for Neurodiversity Celebration Week this week. So we've got 20% off all resources if you use the code NDWEEK20. That's NDWEEK20 and that's numbers. You'll be able to access all my resources, including my brand new nervous system regulation 4-part course. You've got that on Karma Days, the audio course, all my one-off workshops. I've also got lots of free resources as well. I've just uploaded a brand new ADHD calming and regulating EFT video, which you can download right now. It's about 5 or 7 minutes long, and it teaches you how to use EFT to help calm and regulate right in the moment when you're feeling quite panicky or dysregulated. Head to my website, you'll find any resource, you know, from hormones to RSD, to anxiety, to stepping into your power, to really tapping into those ADHD strengths. I'm trying to build this resource library for you. So if you are on this journey of self-discovery, if you're waiting a diagnosis, or you've just had a diagnosis and you're feeling lost, you've had the diagnosis and you're just kind of like, now what? I'm creating these resources so you are able to tap in, get the help, the support, the handholding that at the moment we're not getting from lots of the services, especially here in the UK. So head to my website, which is adhdwomenswellbeing.co.uk. We've got the code NDWEEK20, and we've also got lots of free resources. So let's hear today's episode. And welcome to another episode of ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom, little short bite-sized pieces of wisdom that I've curated from all the many, many episodes that have been recorded over this time. And I really hope that this short insight will help you on the week ahead. So today you'll hear from Vicky Silverthor. Now, Vicky is a professional organizer, entrepreneur, and author. And she has started her business, You Need a Vicky, over 12 years ago, back in the days when people hadn't heard of this job role. And she talks about OCD and ADHD and ADHD and decluttering and how to have a more calm environment for our brains. Let's hear what Vicky's got to say.
ADHDers who have these certain traits like sentimentality, there are still ways and still discussions to be had. So what I don't want people to do is say, you know, I've got ADHD, therefore I'm sentimental, therefore I can't get rid of stuff. There's still so much scope to work on that. And one thing about sentimentality, just something I say to people, and it often clicks something, is what we tend to do is we, deep down, we kind of don't want to get rid of something. We say it's sentimental. But actually, the reality is it's not sentimental. We've just had it for a really, really long time. And what that sometimes does is by keeping those objects that we've just had for a really long time, it kind of overshadows the actual beautiful, wonderful, sentimental pieces. And that's a different way of looking at it. And that's something that often changes the way when I'm working with people that they can think about their stuff. And they're like, do you know what? You're right. You know, I've had these jeans 20 years. Just because I've had them 20 years, I don't know why I'm saying they're sentimental. They're not. I've just had them 20 years. And you don't want that to overshadow, like, you know, for me, I've got one of my mum's cardigans. You know, my mum passed away tens of years ago. That's sentimental to me. You know, I still pick it up and sort of give it a snuggle and a sniff and a, you know, a cuddle, whatever. But I was putting the same label on something I'd just owned for a long time, and it's not. So rather than have this massive pile of sentimental, I've now got sort of 3 or 4 items from mum and another relative that are there, and they're more special. I can see them and they're special. They're not overcrowded. They're not in a big box because I had to put them away because there was so much stuff. So there are different ways of looking at these sort of labels that we put on certain things when it comes to clutter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking I've got things from my grandma. They've been in my wardrobe now, like a couple of cardigans and blouses and things like that. But in my head, I'm like, I feel so guilty giving them away. But they're just, you know, they're in my wardrobe. And I think, well, what am I going to do with them? Like, do I want to pass on more stuff to my kids? And that's another thing, isn't it, like with the guilt. And I think we sense and feel that a lot. And so things are passed down to us, and the sentimentality and the guilt kind of kick in. But then, you know, something happens to us and our kids, or, like, you know, we're gonna have to kind of declutter our parents' houses. And that's what I suffer with, is you know, I feel so guilty. It's just, I get racked with guilt.
Yeah, definitely. It is such a strong emotion that's so connected to all of this. I think there has to be, so I had a relative that passed away several years ago, and it was my job to clear his house. Now, I'd describe him as sort of, you know, living in with an average amount of stuff. But when I say I had to take a month and a half of work that was really hard, travel back and forth, declutter, find homes for things, deal with all the guilt of where to find things. God, I've got to sell this because how can I house all this stuff in my home? You know, do we want to leave that for our children? Times 10 sometimes. It's a huge, huge thing. And again, I think holding on to a couple of things and putting them in a box so that when you, you know, pull them out, you see them and you feel happy and you remember that person. Nothing wrong with that at all. But a really interesting thing to know is that a photograph of an object also sparks the same emotion. What I do with a lot of my clients, and actually sometimes children I've worked with their old toys and stuff, is to take photographs and put the photographs in a box. And when they pick them up and when they look through, it sparks the same emotion. And also what we don't want to do is for these items to spoil, because imagine 10 years, you know, opening something up and the moths have got it, or when actually that will bring a scare. Why didn't we give it to a charity shop? And that cool student who looks great in everything will buy it, give it another 10 years of life. You know, there's such a lot to talk about with it, but it's definitely worth having the conversations. You know, even doing this and even people listening out there to what we're talking about and these important discussions, I know that there'll be a couple at least who go, do you know what? I listened to that, spark something in me. You know, let's give them that kick of adrenaline and it sparked something in me and I did a big declutter and a big clear out.
Yeah, I think there's a time in my cycle where I'm a lot more ruthless, because I remember not long ago doing this huge clear out. And I always come back to the ADHD, but I do think sometimes we just kind of, like, it was like the most random time. I was meant to be doing something else. And I decided there and then I had to do the declutter in the wardrobe. And there was probably loads of other things. There was something in the oven probably. And I just pulled out hangers and rails of clothes. And I thought, if I don't kind of jump on this momentum, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to put everything back in my cupboard. And so I was like a crazy woman. I was like pulling, bin bags, throwing. Blah, blah, blah. My husband came and he was like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, don't interrupt me because I'm going to lose my momentum. Yeah. And I took it all to the charity shop and I dumped it in the charity shop and I sped out. And I felt amazing. And then a few weeks later, I was like, where is that dress? And I'd given it away. Anyway, it didn't matter because I was so happy that I'd done that. But I think sometimes we can just, if there's a spark there or there's just something, just do it, because otherwise it doesn't happen.
Yeah, roll with it for sure. And you know, that decision-making thing,
it was very impulsive.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's good to sort of step back and sort of say, it's something I've definitely learned to do and be like, okay, am I on one here or do I really want to get rid of this? Or am I just on one? Yeah. And it's good to take a step back and think like that, because, you know, the last thing I'd want anyone to do is sort of get rid of something and then be a bit sad about it a few months later. But actually, the worst thing that can happen if you get rid of something that you then regret, the worst thing that is going to happen is a thought.
Yes.
And that's it. That's it. And that's good for people to know too. What if I get rid of it and then I want it back? It's fine. You'll still be okay. Life will still be okay. You'll just be a bit like, oh, why did I do that? I need to think a bit more next time. I didn't want to get rid of that. I could use that. But that's it. It's a thought. You won't then carry that for the next 6 weeks. You'll have that thought and then life goes on. And that's what you learn to do. You have that thought. You go, oh, okay, a bit too impulsive there. And then life goes on. It really does.
I love the psychology behind it. I love, the psychology, and I love how you reframe everything and you're giving people permission to kind of feel the sadness and the guilt and the regret and all the fear that does come up when you declutter, because, you know, every item that we have in a house is, oh, you know, what happens if we need it? What happens if this person comes, or, you know, we need an extra pillow or an extra... There's all the what ifs, but actually it's always going to be a good thing, isn't it? Because, you know, yeah. tidy, like you say, tidy house, tidy home, it all just kind of comes back to our emotional well-being as well. So do you work a lot with that when you are helping people? There must be a lot of emotion, you know, there, especially, you know, maybe someone's grieving or maybe there's a house move and the change of circumstances. It can't just be a materialistic declutter. There's a lot of emotions involved as well, I can guess.
There really are. Yeah, there's a huge amount of emotions. You know, you touched on a couple of the sort of very frequent bookings that we do. We do declutters before people move. You know, they can have lived in their home for 25 years, their family home, their children have grown up, moved out. We've worked with people whose partners have died unexpectedly, last minute. Also a lot of, and I won't say women because it is women usually who work with, who have got divorced, you know, and that's a huge, huge thing to deal with. And we love helping with that side of things as well. Every single situation you can think of, you know, having their first child, having the third child, getting married, moving in with someone, collating space together, every situation you can think of, we deal with every month, every year. So the emotional side is big. And that's why it's important to say that it's not just like it is on TV. There aren't like 10 people coming in. There's no one saying, oh, come on, this is awful. Of course you don't need that. How ridiculous. It's not like it is on TV. Every decision that is made on the day is our client's decision. That's really important to say. If a client only gets rid of 3 items, they get rid of 3 items. We're not there to force them to get rid of things, and they don't get brownie points for everything they get rid of. However, naturally, when we're there, something switches. The door can open, they can be slightly nervous, they can consistently tell us, I'm really worried about this, I'm really anxious. Honestly, within 20, 30 minutes, the majority of clients are smiling, buzzing, they're getting that kick of adrenaline, ADHD or not, they're getting that kick of adrenaline going, oh my goodness, I didn't think I'd get rid of that. And they shock themselves. So many of them do. They just start to love it. And I'm telling anyone, the buzz of decluttering and getting organized lasts weeks, months, in comparison to the buzz of shopping, which can sometimes last minutes or a day, or the first time you've worn something, then it's gone. And that is real. That is totally, totally true. It lasts because you're getting that constant visual positivity. When you declutter, you're getting the enjoyment every time you open your makeup drawer or your beautiful wardrobe or your kitchen cupboards, so nothing falls out anymore. And what I'm a massive advocate for is to keep it simple. Keep the systems you put in place simple. Strip back to basics, the way we do anything. No gimmicky, plasticky things. No, you know, again, slightly different. And what I'm really pushing at the moment, as we touched on earlier, is stop over-organizing. Let's stop over-organizing, because over-organized 6 months later usually equals to a mass of plastic going to landfill when you realize, as I said earlier, the way to organize is not just to buy a load of white baskets and stick labels on them.
Oh, yes. I mean, and I know for myself, my biggest values are space, flexibility, freedom, like room to breathe. And that is just in my house alone. Like I can just look around and look at a clean, you know, a surface, and there's not loads of piles of papers and bills. And, you know, you can't put money on something like that. I can't put money on a living room that hasn't got bloody school bags and shoes everywhere. And, you know, when I went out, I remember during the pandemic, we bought like a new cloakroom organizing unit thing from IKEA or whatever. And then we put some boxes, you know, somewhere for my kids to put all their trainers and football boots, because the football boots were driving me insane. The trainers in the doorway. And so this had an area where I could put like this, hang the school bags on, and they could put their shoes on. And honestly, I was like the happiest person for about a week. And then the novelty wore off for them, and then the bloody shoes went back to the back door again. And I was just like, oh. But
it's hard when you've got children as well, because they do come with a lot of stuff. You know, I've only got one child, but she still comes with a lot of stuff. However, the benefit here also, a really big one to pick up on, is the less stuff you have and the more basic the systems of organisation, the easier it is to tidy up. And that's a big part of it too. So kids are going to come with a lot of stuff, but if the systems implemented are very stripped back to basics, then the goal is I can tidy up each little section of my home in 10 minutes. And that's definitely what I've got to. And there really aren't many labels inside.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to this shorter episode of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing podcast. I've called it the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Wisdom because I believe there's so much wisdom in the guests that I have on and their insights. So sometimes we just need that little bit of a reminder, and I hope that has helped you today, and look forward to seeing you back on the brand new episode on Thursday. Have a good rest of your week.